The text is the introit, which is portions of Psalm 39. Show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting is my life. You have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is as nothing before you. Each man's life is but a breath. But now, O Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you. Save me from all my transgressions. Do not make me the scorn of fools. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Listen to my cry for help. Be not deaf to my weeping. Here ends our text. The last Sunday of the church year is the church's New Year's Eve. And on New Year's Eve, you think about time. You got the time? That can be a question. You got the time? Or a statement, you got the time. You got the time? Do you know what time it is for you? In Detroit, when the church was notified of a death, we tolled the bell once for each year of the deceased's life. People would count the tolls in an attempt to know whom. Hence the phrase from John Donne's 17th century poem, "Therefore, send not to know for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee." Do you know that? According to the introit, it's only the Lord who can teach you. Show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Is that really your prayer? Do you really want the Lord to let you know how fleeting your life is? Watch a 1950s movie. See how they show years passing, calendar years rapidly flying off the screen. The Lord does indeed teach David this, for the next lines are, "You have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is as nothing before thee. Each man's life is but a breath." Get that? First, David is convinced that his life is as short as the width of a hand. Jesus says that by worrying, no man can extend his life by even a cubit. That's 18 inches. Here, David says the Lord has taught him it's not more than 4 inches. But then David goes on to say that his life is nothing before Yahweh, and each man's life is but a breath. That's the very same word Solomon uses in Ecclesiastes, "All is vanity." It's the word for a breath on a window pane. It's there, it's gone. Has the Lord taught you that? Or are times rough now and you're sure that they're going to go on and on? Or are they good and you see them rapidly flying? In one case, time is heavy and slow. In the other, it's light and rapid. But in reality, time is passing at the same speed. You got the time? Do you know, as the opening lines of The Days of Our Life soap opera said, "Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives." Or do you know, as the Guess Who saying, that you have no time for a summer friend, no time for the love you said, no time for a gentle rain, no time for watch and chain. I got no time. That's not only the sum of that song, it's the sum of David's song. You got the time? That is, you have the correct time. You know what it means to cross time zones. You probably know what it means to be just an hour off, falling back or springing forward. And who has not set an alarm for p.m. when they meant a.m.? And while the majority of us have never lived in Tulsa, we know what Don Williams means in his 1978 song, "Living on Tulsa Time." He goes to Hollywood to make it, and he finds out he's out of step with them. And so he's going to set his watch back to Tulsa time. Being out of sync with the proper time is like being out of step when you're marching. You stick out, you're disoriented, and you'll step on or be stepped on. So, what time is it? The first part told us it's later than you think, and you can't know that unless God teaches you. The second part tells us we don't know the correct time apart from God telling us. Jesus says this to the apostles on the day he ascends. He says, "It's not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has fixed for his own authority." That means you cannot conclude what the servant in the gospel reading did. The insert has, "My master has taken a long time in coming." No, what he literally says is, "The Lord of me delays to come." He wrongly concludes his Lord is purposely delaying and so is late. You can only know that if you know the Lord's times and seasons. You don't. But thinking you do, that leads to despair. That leads to focusing on the things of this life, what pleasures there are in this life. Then we slip into the grassroots seductive 1968 song, "Let's Live for Today, Have Pleasures While We Can." Ask the people from Noah's and Lot's days how that worked out for them. Well, just fine, until the skies opened with flood and fire. The times and the seasons are in the hands of the man who is God. Psalm 139 says he knows all of your days before you have lived even one of them. Jesus repeatedly said he knew the hour. It wasn't until the set time had fully come, says Paul in Galatians 4:4, that God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, so we might receive adoption as sons. This is the active righteousness of Jesus. He keeps the law in our place, and so removes it off of our shoulders as a got to, have to, or must do before we can be adopted as sons. In Romans 5:6, Paul refers to the passive righteousness of Jesus, again, as to its timeliness. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. We say time is everything. I timed it just right. God didn't rely on your timing to act. He sent his son when it was time and didn't wait for you to appreciate that fact. No, when we were still ungodly, powerless sinners, Christ suffered, sorrowed, sighed, cried, bled, and died for us and all people. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. That song is not just for the birds. It's God's word. There is not just a time to be born, to plant, to heal, to build up, to laugh, to dance, to love, and a time for peace. There is time to die, to break down, to weep, to hate, and a time for war. And every single one of those times are in the hands of the God who has nail holes in them. You got the time. But looking at your phone or watch can't tell you that. The introit does. If you look up Psalm 39 in a Bible that retains the superscriptions, which are part of the Hebrew text and therefore are God's word, the one for Psalm 39 reads, "For the choir director, for Jeduthun, a psalm of David." Now, you will find Jeduthun mentioned in 1 Chronicles 16:41. He was among those who, quote, "were designated by name to give thanks to the Lord because his loving kindness is everlasting." So, this psalm that begins with our death and how fleeting our days really are is a psalm of thanks about everlasting loving kindness. After coming to the conclusion that according to the Lord, his days are a mere handbreadth, his life is but a vapor on a glass, what does David look for? Sickness? Frailty? Pain? The dreadful, relentless ticking away of a clock? Of sand swiftly swirling down an hourglass? No! David says, "But now that I know how fleeting is my life, but now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you." There never comes a time when a Christian cannot hope in God. No one dies, goes to heaven, and hears God say to them, "Friend, you hope too much in me." What hope did Job have after losing good, fame, children, and health? What hope did David have being hounded by Saul? What hope did Peter have to ever walk on water? What hope did Paul have after 2 weeks and a storm-tossed sea? Why does David say his hope is in Yahweh? Because only he can save me from all my transgressions. And let me tell you, David had plenty. Do you know what he did after committing adultery against Bathsheba and killing her husband to cover up the resulting pregnancy? No, he didn't repent. He stayed an adulterer and a murderer, maybe for up to a year. And in this unbelief, perhaps despair, First Chronicles 22 and 3 reports, David brought out all the spoils of the city, a very great amount, and he brought out the people who were in it, and he cut them with saws and with sharp instruments and with axes. And thus David did to all the cities of the sons of Ammon. But the Lord didn't leave him in his time of misbelief, despair, and other great shame and vice. He sent his word to him by the mouth of a man and saved him from all of his transgressions. All? The sexual assault, the murder, the cruelty? Yes, yes, and yes. His hope could hardly be in a God who only saved him from some or even most of his sins. It's all or nothing. God in Christ is not a part-time savior. If he only kept 9 out of the 10 commandments, then that one unkept one would be biting into your back right now. It would hound you, needing to be done, kept, fulfilled by you perfectly. Thanks be to God that God the Son kept all the commandments perfectly, and he took the time to pay for each one of them. Surely you've experienced a person presenting you with a bill that either was not yours or you thought someone else had paid. Talk about disconcerting. You try to process how you could owe it and how you're going to pay it. Well, God in Christ carried to the cross the sins of the world. Not one of them was missing. Not one fell off. Not one can the devil, your conscience, or someone else pick up and say, hey, what about this one? Or who's paying for this sin of yours? Nope. Can't happen. The bill was paid in full on Calvary's cross on a Friday that Christians call good. You got time to hear this last part. You are to go on hoping in the Lord regardless of circumstances because he has saved you from your transgressions. And you are to be certain he hears all your prayers, all your cries for help, and is not deaf to your weeping. When David is fleeing for his life from Saul, he seeks refuge with the Philistines, but they have no time for him. David writes Psalm 56 at this time. In it he says, record my misery. List my tears on your scroll. Are they not in your record? This New Year's Eve, rather than picture God in heaven tallying up your sins, see him in Christ collecting up your tears. Would he take the time to do that if they weren't worth saving? Take time to think about that as you end this year. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.